Welcome to At the Organ.
Hello, I'm Brent Johnson. I'm recording this on Saturday, June 10th, and we're just 1 week away from the next Organ Live live broadcast. We'll be bringing you the inaugural recital of the newly installed Reuter organ in the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Springfield, Illinois. The church recently underwent a major renovation and restoration, and following that, a replacement of their 1920s Wicks organ with not a new, but a used Reuter organ that the cathedral bought from a church that no longer wanted it. The organ was reworked and revoiced, and a completely new grate division was added to the organ. It now speaks from large chambers in the rear gallery of the church. Now, Springfield is about 100 miles from us here in St. Louis. It's the capital of Illinois and home to the Abraham Lincoln Library and Museum. Lincoln's last home in Illinois still stands just a short walk from the cathedral, and the Capitol Building Dome is visible a few blocks away from the church grounds. In preparation for the upcoming broadcast, I went to Springfield and visited with Mark Gifford, organist and director of music for the cathedral. We made a little video, and it's on the Organ Media Foundation YouTube channel. It's got Mark talking about the organ and giving us a little tour of it. In addition, we talked with Father Christopher House, pastor of the cathedral, and he talked about the renovation of the church. That video is on the post for this episode at attheorgan.com. Of course, there's more video and audio recorded than made it to YouTube, so I thought today I would play a longer version for you. We start with Mark telling us about how he came to be organist of the cathedral.
I officially started the job August 23rd of 2016. I came to the job as they had a new organist who, due to some very difficult things, was unable to fulfill the contract, and the priest here came to me and said, "Is there any chance that we could talk to you about playing at the cathedral?" And I said, "Yes, there's a chance." And in a matter of a lunch time together, I was asked if I would consider taking the job here, and it took me a nanosecond to say yes. Because of my association with church organs over the years, I've known the bishop here for years. I've known Father Chris since the day he was ordained. I've known the vicar general since he was ordained. I'm one of those guys that when you've been in the same place for 25 plus years, you tend to get to know everyone. I had served at another church here in town, Christ the King, for 18 years as one of their organists. And so that pretty much helped me get to know everybody and anybody that was involved in anything in the diocese here in Springfield.
Tell us about the old organ.
The old organ was from 1929. It was from a different builder. And it was built and voiced in the 1900s standards, where the choir or the nuns would have been up here in the balcony singing, but the congregation really didn't sing along. And when the committee was formed to study whether to restore the organ or whether to replace it, it was a very fast decision to replace it because we needed something that was more direct singing to the entire building and leading in congregational singing, which is a major part of all of the masses here at the cathedral, like any other big church from that standpoint. So we chose to replace that instrument almost in the first meeting. And then the search began.
Well, let's fast forward. The Reuter Organ Company was the final choice. How did that come about? Because this is a unique situation.
We had proposals from several companies, but the bishop had given us a specific budget. And in that budget, we knew that a new pipe organ simply was not going to be financially responsible to be near big enough to sing into a room that seats 900 people and has 5.5 seconds of natural reverb in the room. So we needed something that was very strong and very dominant, but yet had all of the color, you know, like every organist, we wanted a color palette that did a little bit of everything. And the Reuter Organ Company had spoken to us about a used instrument that was in another church, and the entire church, the first congregation sold everything to the second congregation, and the second congregation didn't want the pipe organ and offered to sell it for a very reasonable figure. We bought it, we sent it back to the factory for total refurbishing. In addition, we put an all-new grate on the organ, built to the standards that what we want and need musically today, which is centered in the building, singing down the long access of the church, everything organ builders want, we were able to do in this situation. And we expanded the instrument. The used one was 50. We expanded it to 59. Eight of the ranks are in antiphonal, which are in the front of the church, behind the altar. And then we added a copper trumpet en chamade, which is directly above my head sitting here at the console. And thus we have four manuals, 59 ranks, an antiphonal console, seven divisions, and we have a magnificent instrument here in the cathedral. The church was had a complete renovation and restoration, which was finished in 2010, maybe later than that. I don't remember because I wasn't part of that. But the mistake that was made was the organ wasn't part of that project back then. Some people would say that that was a mistake. Now, here in 2016, when that organ was available, I think the hand of the Almighty must have been involved in that a little bit, because we got an instrument here that we could not have dreamed would have been possible without spending two or three times the amount of money that we ended up spending. I asked Dr. Holman, who's playing the inaugural recital, what he thought of the instrument. And it was to the point of, this organ contains the sounds of four different thoughts of organ building sound and does them all very well. The American classic sound, the English classic sound. It does French music wonderful. And then it has enough of the right sounds that Bach on this instrument is just something delight to behold and to hear. So the joy is that when we're playing this, we don't have to just say, oh, well, I can only do this kind of music, because the door is really wide open. I had the pleasure, of course, of being involved in how the color palette was shaped. Remember, we bought 50 ranks of instruments that was used, and so we didn't have a whole lot of say over what happened. But once it got brought into this building and voiced, we did.
Father Christopher House joined us to talk about the church itself. While we adjusted equipment, he talked about how the restoration process got started.
We began basically the cathedral had never been touched since it was built in 1928. In 1953, there was painting was done by Bishop O'Connor, but nothing really had been done even after the Second Vatican Council. So basically, then Bishop Lucas, now Archbishop Lucas in Omaha, just decided it was time. As we looked through the cathedral, the plaster, other elements, it was just, the cathedral was basically was crying out for help. It was time to do something. So he judged it was the time. So in 2006, he created a steering committee of about 13, 14 individuals throughout the diocese, and I was one of those on that committee. And we began the process of looking at what it would take to do a more of a restoration, not in the truest sense of the word, but also not a renovation. So really kind of getting back to the beauty of the space. And so it was completed in December of 2009, but kind of one of the tragic flaws that now has been corrected was that early on it was decided that the organ was not going to be a part of that restoration. So up until last summer, we had the original organ from 1927. The cathedral was completed in 28, but the organ was from 1927. And even back then, one of the fatal flaws was that when the organ was being constructed and designed, they changed the design of the loft and didn't tell the organ builder. So the organ pipes never even faced the right way before. But that's been corrected now. So really, with bringing in the new organ this past summer, this is kind of really the completion now of the restoration, and really this is kind of the jewel in the crown, if you will, because it's the organ that just brings so much more richness and beauty and majesty and splendor to our worship.
I asked Mark to talk about some of the stops on the organ. For this, he's facing the organ console, so the audio is a little harder to hear.
There are, of course, so many times during the mass settings that the organ needs to speak very quietly. In fact, it's even said so in the rubrics of how some of the services, the organ will, instrumental music will play during this part. And I'm watching it all in a rear view mirror like many of us do. And so the Gemshorn and Gemshorn Celeste on this organ are simply two of the most beautifully voiced, quiet sounds on a big organ I've gotten my hands on in a long time. And here they are here. So when I have to be quiet, when I need to just be underneath something, Turning the celeste off and using just the Gemshorn, I found that to be incredibly effective when I have the children up here singing, and I need to make sure they stay on pitch, but I don't want to cover up their sound. And what we have is a moment where we're accompanying the singers, but all you hear out in the room are all their voices, because this is so quiet underneath them. We have string courses on the swell, strings on the choir, on the swell. We also have very bright strings all the way on the other end of the organ, 900 people away in the antiphonal, and I don't know that you'll hear that, but let's give it a little moment. If you recorded that, if you got it, you got it, good. The joy is that when we're so far apart from each other, that combining the front and the back together and putting all of the sounds into one place just affords a very rich, rich ensemble of the strings and celeste. Like many churches, we have microphones to enhance the clarity, but we don't want to be dependent on those for singing. And the joy of this large instrument is that I can have a good soprano with a strong voice just stand at the rail and sing without a microphone, and I can accompany her and not bury her and be that sound underneath. And so that's what's happening at weddings and funerals. We walk away from the microphone and just let the natural human voice fill this wonderful space with sound. Like every organ, we have wonderful principles. The flutes are lovely. Our strings go to a 16-foot level. The principles go down to a 16-foot level. We do not have a 32 on this instrument yet. Any of those that would like to talk to me about that, contact the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Springfield. But we just have rich choruses of everything you could want. I'm particularly fond of the way the Geigen in the swell is voiced. Dr. Homan's comment was, if that doesn't beg for Franck, I don't know what does. So we have all of the varieties to play with. What I enjoy about this instrument is I don't have to play loud, so to speak, for it to sing down the long access of the church brilliantly.
In the Catholic tradition, while we allow for other expressions of music and instruments, the organ has always had pride of place in the liturgy, because the organ could do so many things. It can bring down the power of God, the majesty of God. It can speak to the gentleness of God and all those things. So the organ very much is the backbone, along with the human voice, of our worship. So having an organ that can truly manifest all those aspects of the divine mystery only enhances what we do to worship God and to lift up each other in that worship.
That's all for today's episode. Remember, if you want to see the video that was recorded with all of this, go to attheorgan.com, and we've embedded the YouTube video right there on the post for this episode. I hope you will remember to tune into Organ Live on June 17th at 7 o'clock Central Time. To find out what time that is where you are, go to the post for this episode on attheorgan.com, and we'll have links to a website that will find the broadcast time in your location, as well as to add reminders to your online calendar. The specification of the organ is available there as well. Now, if you won't be available at the time of the live broadcast, Dr. Homan has granted us permission to play the entire program for you one additional time. This will take place on the following Monday, June 19th at 9 a.m. Central Time. Once again, go to Organ Live and click on News to find out what time that might be where you are in the world. Before I go, I want to remind you that it is only because of the support of listeners like you that we are able to bring you things like live broadcasts. As expenses mount up each year, we depend more than ever on listener contributions to keep our stations online and to bring you events like this one. If you haven't become a sponsor of the Organ Media Foundation yet, go to organ.media and click on support to find out how you can become one. Sponsorships begin at just $1. I hate to have to bring it up so much, but our expenses are higher than ever before, and our fundraising that we can usually wrap up in April or May has yet to meet our goal for the year. If you are a regular sponsor, then thank you for your help. We hope you will share Organ Live with your friends and help us keep the music of the organ alive. Okay, that's all for the commercial. We do have more episodes of At the Organ coming up. I'll be talking very soon with James Hicks, the leading expert on the music of Nordic countries. If you have something you're dying to know about and want me to ask him, send me an email. The address is info@attheorgan.com. If you have comments or questions about this episode, this show, the Springfield Organ, our live broadcast, Organ Live, anything at all, we're just an email away. Again, that's info@attheorgan.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Links are available on attheorgan.com. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, just about anywhere you find podcasts. Please feel free to rate our show there, as it helps other listeners find us. My thanks to Matthew Watson for his help in producing this episode. I'm Brent Johnson, and I'll meet you here next time at the Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening.